I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A, and we are always happy to welcome back to our studios the Northern Wisconsin duo of Ed Willett and Cheryl Lee, husband and wife, otherwise known as Chance. Welcome, guys.
Hey.
Great to be back.
Thank you for having us.
And last time you were here, and you're always doing something different. This is one thing I love about having you guys in here.
Thank you.
Last time you were here, it was a Valentine's Day. It was on Valentine's Day, and we were talking about Valentine's and love songs and all that, because you guys know from love, you've been married a long time.
Got pretty mushy in here, I remember.
It was nice.
Sappy.
Well, now we have a completely different direction to talk about.
Yeah.
Because you are doing something called Muir on Tour, which is a project that features your music and the words of John Muir, mm-hmm. who is a Scottish-American man who inspired the national park, starting the national parks, and all sorts of great environmental stuff.
Yeah, they credit him for being the father of the modern conservation movement in general. I don't know if that's overstatement, but I see that in print a lot. But yeah, we years ago we worked a show at the Big Top Chautauqua where we were working, and it was a similar idea of taking Muir's writings and combining them with other music, but we liked the idea, but we wanted to retool it, so we picked all new music. We picked our music that we felt had a correlation to the writings of Muir, so it's lyric-based show. Cheryl, much of it is Cheryl's writing, and we picked things that either the song of ours reflects on the Muir writing that just had happened or foreshadows something to come, and it's something we've been working on for about a year now, and we've done maybe 10 performances or something like that, and it's become a really almost a full-time endeavor now, because we started in the centennial year of Muir, which is 2014, a centennial of his death. He passed away in 1914, December 24th, so this was a big time for environmental groups, Sierra Club, and those kinds of groups. And then 2016 is the centennial of the National Park Service, which we didn't even know when we embarked on this, but it's now it has this whole life that's going to involve the National Park Service. So it's kind of been our focus, and I'd been looking a long time for a way to bring together our music and environmental progress.
Yeah. And again, the show is Muir on Tour, and it's coming up at Zeitgeist Arts in Duluth this coming Sunday at 2 p.m.
Yep.
Is it in the Teatro there? Teatro
yep,
Zuccone?
It is. Yeah.
All right. Okay, and let's start with a song. And we also need to introduce bass player Jane Alexson, who the name might be familiar. She's in some other projects, the Jane Gang, and we'll talk about some of your other stuff. But welcome, Jane.
Thank you.
Great to have you in our studio. So we have a trio here today, and one person is missing, perhaps?
Oh, yes. Tom Mitchell is an actor and percussionist, and Tom is a major part of this. He was unable to be here today, so it's more music on the music side of things today, but if you come to the show, I'd say there's about 35% of it is acting, doing dramatic reading and performing Muir's words by a really great actor, Tom Mitchell.
Okay. So. All right. Well, what do you guys want to start with here?
We're going to start with a instrumental, something that I learned from people here in Duluth, our good friends that used to have a band called Willow Green. And it's a thing called Morrison's Jig. And in the program, if you come on Sunday, you'll see tunes that all four of us are involved in. You'll see us accompanying readings by the actor Tom Mitchell and some instrumentals. So we're going to give a little smattering of those three things today. Take it away, Jane. Thank you.
That's Jantz live from Studio A, and a song included in the Muir on Tour performance that they are doing these days. Very lovely. Well, so, you know, paying tribute to John Muir, so I want to know, Ed and Cheryl, a little bit about your connection to nature and kind of, you know, because I know you used to be city folk for a long time, right?
You did, indeed.
Lived out in Los Angeles,
I think?
We
did our time out in the L.A. Basin and all sorts of other urban environments. And like John Muir, we just can't get enough of the woods. An active subtitle of our show is The University of the Wilderness, because ever since he was a little kid, he grew up in Dunbar, Scotland, and by the North Sea. And his schoolhouse was heard the waves crashing, and ships would crash full of fruit and stuff, and they would run down there and grab the fruit because they didn't have any, and all sorts of wonderful stories that really resonate with me, because when I was a kid, you could not get me out of the tree in the backyard. And there were trapdoor spiders and stuff like that that would come up kind of out of nowhere, you know, and they would open up and just this world underneath you. And so I always loved that term, the University of the Wilderness. And he would run away all the time with his brother, you know, sort of not playing truant, really. But there's a reading right before they immigrated at age 11 to the New World with his father and his brother. He had a reading from his boyhood that I just love, and it's, oh, the blessed enchantment of those Saturday runaways in the prime of spring. These were my first excursions, the beginnings of lifelong wanderings. And we'd like to do a tune for you called The Holy Ground, which we use in the show as his departure on the great sea going to the New World. It's a Jerry O'Byrne tune, and it just sort of speaks a lot for my childhood and my feeling about the woods as well.
All right.
Hope you like it.
Okay.
I was raised on the holy ground, a running child in fields of clover. I was living in the my father's land. By the side of the swirling seas, I spent the days of childish wonder. Those rocks I held in my young hands, I never felt them slip away. Oh, oh, oh. And that wind shone bright upon the waves, and the wind blew high as I was leaving. I sailed so far away, looking for adventure. Where the city streets proclaim so loudly man's endeavor, though music is a pretty thing in fine company. Mm-hmm. was in the south where my new home lay, with a dark-eyed girl and wild horses, hummingbirds and roses there in old Mexico. Oh, wilderness takes my breath away under a sun that never falters, 'cause man has to find his way where no one ever goes. No one ever goes.
That is Chance live from Studio A, and another piece from their Muir on Tour performance. Lovely, Cheryl.
Thank you.
So I forget if we've talked about this before. So where were you a kid? Where did you grow up?
I was a kid in San Diego, California.
Okay.
And there was nothing like the pines up here or the Great Lakes. My experience early on was with the ocean primarily. And so the sea creatures, the sea anemones, the pelicans and things, those were the wildest things around me. Other than that, there were every species of sparrow known to man, but nothing as exotic as here. And surely the North Sea always stuck in my mind as a place that must have been just fantastically wild. I really have an affinity to the early words of John Muir in particular. I know Jane grew up around here too, didn't you, Jane?
I did. You grew up around here? Circle, coming back.
Did you get in the woods, Jane, when you were a kid?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So, Jane, let's... I'm sorry. Go ahead. Just finish your thought.
Oh, I was just going to say it's just such a wonderful area. And Madeline Island ended up there and met Ed and Cheryl through Big Top Chautauqua. They hired me, actually, for Apple Fest about 4 years ago.
That's right.
So that's my connection with them. And then we've all played together in the Blue Canvas Orchestra, which is the Big Top Chautauqua house band.
Now, and you also, you're in the Jane Gang, I know, is one of your other bands.
Yes, that's, it's been many different formations. In the Twin Cities, it was 7 to 12 people in a horn band, rhythm and blues. And right now it's a trio with a couple of local icons from the Twin Ports area, Tom O'Hara, who teaches right here.
The hall.
Yeah, and Marvin Pomeroy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we look forward to having different people sit in with us.
So it's called, has your name on it. So is that basically your project, wherever it has been? Like,
yes.
Whatever. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're kind of the main figure, and then whatever happens to be happening around you is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a lot of fun.
And I know you play with some other people regularly, or you have, right, up here? And
I have. Well, many different people, but in the Twin Cities, Women Who Cook.
Okay.
That was a 14-piece women's group, and we did a musical peace tour, went to the Soviet Union in 88, and went back again in 89 with Prudence Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I guess her band was called The Good Life at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
So just played with her recently, actually, up at Michael Monroe's in Grand Marais.
Mm-hmm.
They do house concerts up there.
Mm-hmm. So you're a busy lady.
Yeah.
I got to say, that's the first time I heard Jane. I didn't hear
her
play bass at all. She was helping out, accompanying people for a audition for this show that was happening at the Big Top, and I was music director there at the time. I didn't hear her play bass, but I could tell just she exuded music. You know, I mean, it was just so to the soles of her feet. I didn't have to hear her. We hired her to play bass, even though I had never heard it. I heard her playing guitar at the time, but you know, it's just when somebody's got that, the groove and happening, there's just, you can't teach it, and you can't, Jane can't unlearn it.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of grooves, Ed and Cheryl, they write, I've listened to their LA CD, and every song on it is just fabulous. Great R&B and jazz, and I mean, they cover all areas, and it's
now
what I love most.
I noticed that you had some songs online for this project, but have you released an album or anything
no,
yet?
No, we haven't. People have been talking to us about that. It's something, you know, one thing that's hard to for me to get my mind around is how to make a recording that represents some of the acting in it and the, you know, the spoken word in the midst of music. We did that on our last album, and it's something to handle. You know, it's a departure from a regular CD. So we're thinking about it. I don't know quite how to handle it.
We do have a film, though.
Yeah.
Done at Weber Hall right here in town.
Yeah, if you go to our website, there's a film of the show at chanceworld.com. But, yeah, we're working on a tour in Scotland right now. We're going in April. Between April 18th and May 3rd, we'll be in Scotland. And we're doing the same kind of making partners with local conservation groups there, you know, national ones there and local ones, which we do here, too. In fact, on I should say, on this Sunday's performance, we're partnering with the Sierra Club and the Minnesota Land Trust and the Hartley Nature Center and the St. Louis River Alliance and the Hawk Ridge Observatory, the Boulder Environmental Learning Center. I'm really paranoid now that I'm going to forget somebody, but I think that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So there's really, you know, kind of a broad component to this. You know, it's really as much about the environmental stuff as, you know.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's what we're hoping for it is to the inspiration that we gain from Muir's writings. That's what we're hoping that people either are turned on to for the first time, or in most cases, people have read his stuff, have studied him, and then they get reignited. And we've heard that many times. That's our favorite comment by people who have read much of his stuff, that they're going to get back into it. And we've heard that over and over again. So I think the idea is the Centennial Show was to bring him back to the forefront, and our hope for continuing on is to not let it him get back into the back seat again, keep him on the forefront. And so, because the ideas that he had are absolutely pertinent to what's going on now. Yeah.
Now, when you're getting ready to do a show like this, how do you put it all together? How do you decide, you know, you're doing some music, you're doing some readings, you're doing some, you know, how do you decide how you're going to put it all together? And was it all of you making those decisions? Was it you guys and Thomas?
It was primarily Cheryl and I to begin with. And then we got together with Tom Mitchell to consider the acting side of things, the staging. And we looked for a match between the music that we wanted to present, that sort of present was our take on the environmental statement that we wanted to make. And it's observing environment. It's not, you know, you should do this, you should do that. There's nothing of that in there. Both of us don't feel that actually accomplishes
much. Well, like that last song that you did was just, you know, sharing your experience.
Yeah, yeah. And,
you know. We tried to do that a great deal, actually.
Mm-hmm.
As far as recordings go, the version of a musical representation of six of the movements that comprise the two-hour show that we do came from an orchestral and choir work that we premiered in 1997. But that recording is called Fields, a cantata for the peaceful rain. It is available through us and through CD Baby. But it's a chamber work. It's a new orchestral and choir work, if you will. It's 37 minutes long. So there are representations of six of the movements, and we adapted that piece to the four of us. So yes and no, I mean, but it came from there. And so a lot of the sentiments that we tried to achieve were really psychological in nature. It was a psychological landscape of John Muir rather than a travel log. He went here, then he went there, and it wasn't like that at all. We tried to achieve a psychological viewpoint and landscape of the man, who was really quite intense in his breadth of what he did. I had no idea the amount of accomplishments this man did in a lifetime, that the final 46 years of his life were really where he achieved most of his fame and viewpoints. he gathered and gathered and went all over the world and on foot. This man walked 1,000 miles to the Gulf of Mexico. He was all through the mountains to the Sierra Nevada, and this was a long time ago. On foot, this man just went everywhere and really mirrored a lot of things that I've always felt. And apparently many people have as well. There's a lot of people that are mere scholars out there that have read all of his books and articles and stuff like that. So he was really very fascinating. He came back after all those wanderings and wrote books at his home. And that's why we have what we have today from him.
Now, Cheryl, I always get the impression that some of the fun part of doing your projects for you is getting to do that research and share that with people. And it's always so interesting to learn about things.
I'm a wordsmith, I suppose you'd call me. I love the meanings of words and their craft. I'm really not, oh, baby, baby, I lost my baby kind of writer. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that. But I love the literacy of the man. It was really a challenge to try to wed my words and his and have it even be remotely as lovely as what he wrote. And so that was an honor and a challenge and remains so.
Wonderful. Have you guys been to Scotland before? Just going back to you
no,
said.
No, we haven't.
So you're going to get to see that North Sea?
Yes.
We're going to try.
First time.
We have a friend who has a place in a town called Buckie. We start our tour at this place called Findhorn, which is in the highlands of Scotland. Near Inverness, if people know where that is. But that whole North Sea that Cheryl's been pining for I've known her, 28 years
really
now.
I really have, too.
We're going to stay there at a friend's house there for a while. Our first gig is on the 18th, as I said. So we're excited, and it's been just a blast talking to these people who I'm arranging the tour through. I'm doing this myself, so I'm on the phone every day for 4 months now, you know, just trying to get it together. But the people I talk to make it a pleasure. It's just a fascination for me. I even had the experience a couple of times where I'm fascinated by accents, and so I'm just very happy to talk to them. And I get a candid conversation going, and I said, do I have a strong accent to you? You know, if they have one that I can hardly understand, I'm assuming that mine is equidistant, you know. And so far, that's been true. They can hardly understand me. And I'm so looking forward to that kind of language exchange.
Well, we have time for one more. What do you guys want to do?
Great.
Next.
We're going to do a tune that Cheryl and I wrote recently. The show is refined and changed and made to our liking, and this is the latest one that we added just a couple of weeks ago to it. And Cheryl's going to start off with a little bit of a reading that goes before it, and then we'll get into it. This is a tune about Cheryl being in the mountains and just feeling like she had everything going on that anyone would ever need.
Ah, yes. On a notable Sierra Club outing, when there were only a mere 27 members, author Albert Palmer tells of a conversation he had with John Muir on the trail. He asked Muir, "Someone told me you did not approve of the word hike. Is that so?" His blue eyes flashed, and with a serious tone, he replied, "I don't like either the word or the thing. People ought to saunter in the mountains, not hike. Do you know the origin of that word, saunter? It's a beautiful word. Way back in the Middle Ages, people used to go on pilgrimages to the Holy Land, and with people in the villages through which they passed, asked where they were going, they would reply, 'À la Santière,' to the Holy Land. So they became known as santereres, or saunterers. Now these mountains are our Holy Land. We ought to saunter through them and not hike."
The fortunate one. Yes, I live with what has not been done. Is this how destiny feels? My heart and my mind, it reads. summerling, live on to sing of the joy you found differing. How shall you serve such a world with your heart and your mind unfurled? A voice with a weary line tried to take the joy that is mine. When the world calls me, will I learn to crawl or know to fly? Summerling, die on the wing. It's the way of the lighter things. Now you face will unto will. You're freer still, and I am the fortunate one. Yes, I am the fortunate one. Yes, I am the fortunate one. Yes, I am the fortunate one. Oh, I
That is Chance live from Studio A with some selections from their Muir on Tour show featuring their music, the words of John Muir, readings, and all sorts of fun stuff. And that show is the 19th, this coming Sunday, at Teatro Zuccone in Duluth at 2 p.m. Thank you so much, guys. That was really
fun.
Thank
you.
Thanks, Christine.
And again, there's one more component. Tom Mitchell will be joining you guys on Sunday.
Correct.
And so more, you know, more. He does more of the acting.
Acting,
reading.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So sounds like a fun show.
It is
Thank
a fun
you.
Show. Hope you can come.
Thank you so much. Today's Live from Studio 8 was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Rick McLean and Aaron Welch. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Arts. This is Live from Studio 8 on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.